Welcome to the Football Project. My name is Lucas Abreu. I'm here with Vivek Barnwal. How are you doing, Vivek?
No, I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So, before we get started, why don't you you tell us a little bit about the podcast, how you decided to come up with it, and what the point of it is, what the goal of it is.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I was really excited to have some sort of outlet for football. So I coached high school football, coached a little bit of college, then went back to high school coaching, and then was working a job that required some more evening and weekend time. And so decided to stop coaching high school football. But I still enjoyed learning about the game. I missed getting to do coaching and wanted to find some sort of way to be able to get to connect about it. You know, you and I are on like a text thread with some other folks who like to watch some NFL games together. And as much as I love getting the text back and forth in that group, I think I was looking for something a little bit more where it's like, oh, we get to actually talk more intentionally about football. And so I have two little kids. One is about 1 year old and really hates to sleep. And so she gets up pretty often in the middle of the night. And so one night, my wife and I put her back to bed and then we're sitting in the living room talking. And I was just kind of spitballing with her like, man, I'd love to find something that's not coaching, but gets an outlet for talking about football stuff. And she threw out this idea of like, hey, your buddy Lucas does a podcast, right? Have you ever thought about doing a podcast together with him? And I hadn't. It was around like 2 a.m. when my wife and I are having this conversation. So I texted you, you being on the West Coast. It was a decent shot you were still awake at 11 p.m. in L.A. Yep. So I texted you and you got back to me right away and you were like, I'd love to. And I was really pumped about that.
What got me excited about this podcast is helping myself and learning how to better watch a play develop, better understand why coaches make the decisions. I know one thing we talked about, not only watching it better and even like maybe predicting a play before it happens, but also just appreciating the game more. And hey, maybe it didn't work out. They did a play action play on third and short, but understanding what the mindset was behind the play call and not just tearing down a coach or a player for doing something wrong, but maybe the other team countered it and it just didn't work out that time around. You know what I mean? So I think that I'm really excited to better understand and watch football, just have a fuller grasp of it.
That's awesome. And that's definitely the hope for this podcast, is whether you've been watching football for years or just wanting to get into it for the first time, that there's something for everyone in it. And like you said too, I think there's a lot of takes out there, a lot of podcasts, a lot of shows that are pretty much built around the premise of tearing down coaches or players for something that they did wrong. And quite honestly, I think it's kind of a lazy way to go about approaching the game. Like obviously when something doesn't work, it's easy to tear it down. But yeah, what I think I'm more interested in is, oh, there's usually rhyme or reason for why players or coaches do certain things, and trying to dig a little bit deeper and be like, oh, there's actually like a good reason for why they did it. It may not be the decision that another coach would have made or even you watching from home would have made, but here's maybe why they did what they did. So that's the hope for this podcast. It just gives us some more tools to be able to watch the game in a more enjoyable way. And I'm excited to get to do this with you, man. We're going to be going over offensive positions today, but before we dive into that, just want to give maybe a roadmap for the next few episodes that we're going to have. Each of the first few episodes are just going to set some foundations for basic football, so we can refer back to them and we can build off of them. We'll start with offense today. On future episode, we're going to do defense. And then soon after that, we'll do special teams. And after we hit those three areas, then we're going to try to follow the NFL calendar a little bit. So that's kind of the journey that we're going to be starting on here. And today, going over offense, here's how we were thinking we'd do this. So we'd name the position. We'd do like a broad overview of what their roles are, share some key traits that are needed for the position that kind of set them apart, and then talk a little bit about a current NFL player who's an elite example of that position. And the hope is that whether, you've been watching for years or you're just starting to learn the game, this overview gives you a foundation to go off of. So anything else you want to add, Lucas?
No, I think that's it. I think you put it really well. So let's get started.
Cool, cool. What do you say we start with the offensive line then, the big people blocking up front? Sound
yes,
good?
The big boys, come on.
The big boys. There's five offensive linemen. You have one center, two guards, and two tackles. And they have this, as a cohesive unit, their job is to protect the quarterback when the quarterback drops back to throw the ball, or open up running lanes for any ball carrier on the offense. But within the offensive line, each of those positions has some unique skill sets that set them apart from each other. So let's kind of break it down a little bit. We'll start with center and go from there. So the center, appropriately named, is at the center of the offensive line. Every play starts with the center delivering the ball back to the quarterback. And one of the main roles for a center is to read the defense and make sure that the quarterback is on the same page with the rest of the offensive line in terms of how to block for that play. So most teams in the NFL, when they call a play on offense, it's almost like it's an if-then equation. So like if the defense lines up like this, we will run this play. Or if the defense looks like this, we will do that. And I think that's what makes the NFL game like so fun and so complex, is there's so many different layers to like one play call. But in order for that play call to work, in order for that if-then equation to work out well, the whole offense has to be doing math the same way, if you know what I mean. Like the center is the one who's making sure the quarterback and the offensive line are on the same page. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So whenever like a center is pointing stuff out, it's not just for like, it's not just for show for the coaches. It's actually
right.
readjusting, you know, maybe a defensive lineman will move over, the linebacker will come up to the defensive line. It's kind of just to adjust for those purposes. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Okay. You're spot on. So when you're watching a game from home, if you see the center pointing at people, that's usually what he's trying to do. He's trying to help everyone on the offense be on the same page of how to block that play. So reading and communicating is a key trait. Snapping the ball quickly and accurately. I know that might sound dumb, but it's really, they make it look a lot easier than it is. Do you remember watching the Michigan-Alabama playoff game this past year?
Yeah, I do. I remember the snaps were all over the place.
Yeah, there's the center for Alabama had a really tough time that game. He was going up against a really good defensive lineman. I think he had his hands full. But I think during that game, you got a good sense of like, oh, like something that can seem kind of routine is actually extremely difficult, because you're simultaneously trying to snap the ball and get to your block at the same time. And so there's like a quickness that centers need to have to be able to snap and take their first step towards the block.
Well, and that kind of reminds me, one thing that you pointed out to me a while back ago when we first started talking about how to watch football better, you mentioned that the center is a pretty good tell to determine whether or not it's a run play or a pass play. Can you kind of break that down real quick for us?
Yeah. So like, because the center is typically the first player to move on offense or on defense, like once the ball is snapped, the center is taking a step right away. And so you can tell right away from the center, if the center is moving forward or upfield, it's usually a run play. But if the center pops straight up, like their helmet pops straight up, or they go backwards at all, it's usually a pass play, because run plays, you're trying to move forward and push the defensive line out. On pass plays, you're popping straight up and trying to create like a wall to protect the quarterback. And so, you know, there might be occasional times you're wrong. But if you're wrong, it's because the offense is running a play called a draw, which is like you make it look like a pass, but then you're actually running the ball. Or it's something called an RPO. Are you familiar with what an RPO is?
Yeah, the run pass option.
Yeah, run pass option. So it's basically just the offense has the option to run the ball or pass the ball. The quarterback makes that decision based on how the defense lines up. And so the offensive line might be blocking like it's a run play, but the quarterback decides to throw the ball. But even if you're wrong in that situation, you know then it's like, oh, I'm wrong because the offense ran a draw or they ran an RPO. But most of the time you'll be right. Most of the time, you'll know it's a run or a pass. And the cool thing about that then is once you know it's a run or a pass, you can get your eyes to somewhere else on the screen to watch something else you want. So like if you're wanting to watch how well the defensive line is getting a pass rush, if you know it's a pass play, you can start looking at your favorite defensive lineman and how he's using pass moves to get to the quarterback. Or if you know it's a run play, you can look at where the offensive linemen are going to open up a play for the run game. So to give an example of like a current NFL player that I think is really good at center, Tyler Linderbaum for the Baltimore Ravens comes to mind. More and more NFL offenses they're moving offensive players around the formation a lot. And so you see that for skill players like receivers and running backs and tight ends, like you'll see them a lot of pre-snap motion. For offensive linemen, the way that looks is more and more offensive linemen are pulling, which is basically like once the play starts, they're running from one side of the formation to the other side of the formation to get a block on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And Tyler is absolutely great at that. He's not big compared to other offensive linemen, but he credits a lot of his movement skills and a lot of his blocking technique and ability, being able to like block bigger guys with his like wrestling background. So a lot of really good offensive linemen actually used to be really good high school or even college wrestlers back in the day.
So next we got the guards, which makes sense, the name, right? They're guarding the quarterback, they're protecting the quarterback. Do you want to talk a little bit about them?
Yeah, yeah. So the guards are typically working together with the center or the tackle who's on the other side of them to tandem block. And they have to be able to process where the pressure is coming from quickly and prioritize where to help. If the tackle needs help, if the center needs help, if they have to get a one-on-one block, I'd say one of the biggest traits for them from a physical standpoint is they have to be really stout. So the guards tend to maybe be heavier, not maybe as tall as the tackles or as long as the tackles, so maybe a little bit shorter or stouter. They tend to be blocking the biggest defenders on the field, but they also have to have really good movement skills. Like they're with the centers, they're also tending to pull a lot and move across the formation in different offenses. And a current NFL player that I think really captures that is Chris Lindstrom. So he plays for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm curious, do you watch much guard play at all when you're watching a NFL game, Lucas?
I'll be honest, I don't. I don't.
And I
not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Not right. Most people usually don't pay attention to the offensive line, let alone the guards. I feel like they maybe get the least amount of love. But if you get a chance to watch the Atlanta Falcons play, check out Chris. I forget if he still is the highest paid guard in the NFL after this recent round of free agency, but at one point he definitely was. And he does all the things that we just talked about really well. And what makes it really funny is he's kind of baby-faced, and he's always like looks really happy and is smiling a lot, but he plays so mean. Like he puts a lot of defenders on their back in the course of the game. So you don't really expect that when you just look at a picture of him, but he's a lot of fun to watch, and he's a real tough-nosed guard in the NFL. And like I was saying, guards work together with tackles and centers, and moving on to the tackles then, they're positioned outside of the guards and they protect the edges. So yeah, in the past in the NFL, you'd have like left tackle and right tackle, and like left tackle was held at a higher premium because most of the quarterbacks in the NFL are right-handed. And so you want a left tackle who can protect the quote unquote blind side of the quarterback. Basically, that just means the side of the quarterback that he's not maybe paying as much attention to when he's dropping back to throw. But as the game has evolved and defenses move their best rushers all over the formation, you've got to have a really good left tackle and a really good right tackle. So it's become less and less that like, oh, left tackle is the one that's got to be way better or way more athletic than a right tackle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is a quick question about the tackle name.
Yeah.
Why is it called tackle? Because again, center makes sense. It's in the center. Guards protect. But why tackle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's not very intuitive. So won't get into all the history of it, but basically when American football started back in like the 1800s, it was a weird mix of rugby and soccer, and each league kind of played by their own separate sorts of rules. And quite a few of the leagues back then had offensive linemen who were allowed to tackle defenders, which sounds kind of wild when you think about today's NFL. But yeah, it was basically offensive linemen who are allowed to tackle players on defense. And those were the offensive tackles. That rule has since changed as the game has evolved and they've made some changes over the years. So now offensive linemen are not allowed to tackle defenders. But for whatever reason, the name offensive tackle has still has still stuck. So not really intuitive, but I'm glad you asked about that because yeah, that could trip some people up.
So who's a good example of an elite NFL player at the tackle position now?
Yeah, I would say Penei Sewell. So he plays for Detroit. Some of the traits that he has that I think are great for like all tackles are he's really tall, really wide, really long arms. I think he's about like 6'5", 6'6", 340 pounds is what they have him listed as. He's really big, but he has such good footwork too. He's really quick. He's able to move in a way that someone who's 6'6", 340 pounds probably shouldn't be able to move. And what's unique about him is he actually plays right tackle. So like, remember how we were saying like someone who's really gifted at tackle, they're usually playing left tackle.
Yeah.
Well, he plays right tackle and his quarterback is right-handed. So I think you're starting to see this trend of like, oh, you need both your tackles to be really gifted, really able to set the edge. So he has elite athleticism, elite size, and the technical aspects of his game. He's really good with his hands, really good with his feet. Something really funny about him too, Detroit has ran a few trick plays where they've sent Penei Sewell out to run a route to catch a ball. And he's actually caught a pass before, but I think that just speaks to his level of athleticism. Like Detroit trusts him to run a route, catch a football. And he did it in a pretty crucial moment of a game too, which is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of catching the ball, next we've got wide receivers.
Yes.
So as far as I know, they line up wide and they receive the ball.
Yep. That's great. The name, unlike tackle, tells you exactly what they do.
What I feel like for me, obviously people look at speed as a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're the Raiders. Whoever runs the fastest, the Raiders want them. But beyond speed, what kind of stands out to you for a receiver?
Yeah, this might be a bit of a hot take. Obviously, speed is important, but I think it gets very overrated when it comes to receiver. I think most of the receivers in the NFL are very fast. But what really separates the great receivers from the good receivers in my mind are their ability to run crisp routes, their hand-eye coordination. They make catching a football look really easy. And a lot of that is because of their eye discipline, like being able to look the ball all the way into their hands through traffic. And then having like a diverse release package. What I mean by release package is just different ways to get off the line of scrimmage when there's a defender in your way. So ways to use your hands to get the defender off you, ways to change up the pace with which you're running your route. So maybe you start a little bit slow, maybe you, and then you speed it up. There's all sorts of different little nuanced things that receivers do that go well beyond speed. So someone might be able to run, you know, 40 yards in a straight line really fast, but if they don't have good hand-eye coordination, if they don't run crisp routes, if they don't have a good release package, they're going to really struggle at the NFL level. I think you can maybe get away with that in like high school and in college to some extent, but it gets really tough at the NFL level.
Okay. And so who would you say like is someone who is the total package when it comes to all those things?
Definitely Tyreek Hill, plays for the Miami Dolphins. He came into the league and most people just thought he was just super fast. But if you watch him on film, he does all the things we just talked about. In fact, this past year, he was on pace to have over 2,000 receiving yards, which if you're not familiar with football, like that's a lot. No receiver has ever had over 2,000 receiving yards in a regular season. And he got injured late in the season, and so he wasn't able to do that. But the fact that he was even on pace for that was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I feel like Tyreek Hill was probably, I mean, Christian McCaffrey was in the conversation for it too, but to have a player be MVP that wasn't quarterback, at least even just to be in that conversation, I feel like you've got to be doing something that really hasn't been done before. And so it's cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had him on your fantasy team, you know what I'm talking about. So he put up a lot of good numbers.
I did not.
Ah,
bummer. So kind of, man. A hybrid between receiver and offensive lineman is the tight end. What kind of, explain to me the tight end. Like why, maybe not like the history of why they became a position, but yeah. what are the roles and responsibilities that a tight end have that's either different or similar to offensive linemen and receivers?
You know, it's funny. I think the tight end position is a position that has grown a lot in value over the past few years because, like you said, they're basically asked to do it all. They're kind of like a hybrid between receivers and linemen. So the best tight ends are skilled route runners, skilled pass catchers, skilled run blockers, and pass blockers. And some of them line up all over the field. So not just tight to the formation, not just at the end of the offensive line, but sometimes out wide, sometimes in the slot, sometimes even in the backfield. So there's an immense amount of versatility that tight ends need, or at least the best tight ends have. And that's the key trait I'd say for that is just versatility, to be able to do a little bit of everything and to do it all pretty well. And there's only a small handful of tight ends that I think actually do all those things at a really high level. And one player that comes to mind is George Kittle. He plays for the San Francisco 49ers. He played college at Iowa. And, you know, I don't know if you're very familiar with Iowa football. Most people aren't. But for whatever reason, they have churned out a lot of really good tight ends over the years. So George Kittle is one of several Iowa football players who have done really well in the NFL and is able to do all those things that we just mentioned at a really, really high level.
And now into the backfield, before we get into quarterback, running back, and fullback, can you kind of explain what just generally what the names mean? Because a quarterback, fullback, and halfback don't quite line up the way that you would expect them to.
Right.
And also, why is it called the backfield? It's all very confusing. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Well, the backfield part is very simple. They all line up in the back of the offensive line. So if the offensive line is the very front, they are in the back part of the field behind the offensive line. So that's where the quarterback, running back, and fullback all line up. In terms of their names, like quarterback, running back, which is sometimes called halfback, and fullback, that goes back to, you know, how tackle referred to this time when football was kind of more like rugby.
Yeah.
That's where these names come from too. So there was a center in this old time American football. And then a little bit behind them was the quarterback, who was a quarter of the way back. And then behind the quarterback was the halfback, who was half the distance back. And then at the very back was the fullback, who was the full distance away from the center. And they lined up in that sequential order. And it's really funny because the game evolved. The quarterback doesn't always line up first. Now there isn't even a fullback on the field for most teams, for most plays. But for whatever reason, they've kept these old kind of rugby American football names of quarterback, halfback, and fullback. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So yeah, let's talk about quarterback first, since from the center it goes into the quarterback's hands most of the time. Mm-hmm. What's the job of a quarterback?
Job of the quarterback is to lead the offense. So the way they do that, they master the offensive playbook. They know where everyone's supposed to be. They have to have an acute ability to be able to read the defense, make good decisions, and get the ball out of their hands quickly. Throw accuracy and arm strength, there's kind of like a bit of a debate about which one's more important. You'll have some people who are like, hey, I want a quarterback with a strong arm. You can teach accuracy. You can't teach being able to chuck a ball 100 yards downfield. For other folks, they'll be like, hey, that's great if a guy can throw it 100 yards downfield. It doesn't really matter if they can't throw it accurately and it doesn't go to where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So there's some debate about that. I think personally, I tend to lean more towards accuracy as being more important. As long as you can just get the ball there, if it's on time and accurate, you have a much better shot. And then having pocket presence. And what I mean by that is, like, it's kind of like the idea of like having eyes in the back of your head. Like when you're dropping back to throw, being aware of where the pressure is coming from. In an ideal world, as an offensive coach, what you draw up on the board or what you put in a playbook is exactly the way things play out on the field. And I just want to say that is rarely what happens when a play starts. There's usually pressure that gets through on the offensive line from one direction or another. And so quarterbacks being able to have pocket presence to be able to buy time, run around in the pocket, elude defenders, and then throw a catchable ball is really important.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so I've got a feeling I know who it is you're going to say, but who is an elite current NFL quarterback
yeah.
that kind of exemplifies all of these things?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, this is, might sound like a cop-out answer, but I don't really see how you can pick anyone else at this point. Patrick Mahomes plays for Kansas City. He's won two of the three. His team has won two of the last three Super Bowls. And reason I say him is his teammates seem to love him. He makes throws routinely that seem to defy physics. Like things like he's running to his right and he throws across his body to the left, or he's like off balance and he throws and the ball is perfectly placed. He seems to have like eyes in the back of his head. He can avoid pressure. And I think the biggest factor with him is, say you're watching an NFL game, your favorite team is playing Kansas City and they're winning by, you know, a couple points. Time is running out, but Patrick Mahomes is about to get the ball.
Yeah.
And I think most fans of the other team in that situation, deep down in their hearts, know they are going to lose that game.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Mahomes is just clutch like that. Like, Kansas City's offense has their ups and downs. They're not always clicking on all cylinders, but when it's crunch time, Pat has a great track record of just making big time plays and big time moments. And it just goes to show you why the general consensus is that if you have a elite quarterback, there's a great chance for you to win, and why it's the most valuable position on the field. And Pat has been just that on most Sundays.
Yeah, he really has been just in a league of his own. Next, we've got running back. Tell me more about the running back, or the halfback, like you said earlier.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they usually get the ball in run plays. They're not as valued as they used to be, not because they don't impact the game, but just durability is a big issue. So some numbers on that. In 2022, there were two times as many running backs on injured reserve. Injured reserve is just a designation for players who were injured for the season. There were two times as many running backs injured for the season as any other position on the field. The reason for that is they just take such a beating, like getting tackled 10 to 20 times each game, having to do all the things that a running back does. It just takes a big toll on a person's body. So they impact the game in a huge way, but it's just hard to be durable at that position. So some traits that are really important for running backs: vision, having the ability to see and anticipate running lanes, breaking tackles. So whenever a run play is drawn up, no matter how well it's blocked, there's at least one person, one defender, who is going to be unblocked on the play, and it's the running back's job to make that person miss. Oftentimes it ends up being more than one, because you can't block everyone perfectly, but a running back's got to be able to break tackles, whether that's going around or through or over a defender, finding a way to do that. And then pass protection and pass catching. Those are some traits that most running backs haven't had to have maybe in previous eras of the NFL, but now it's like a must. If you want to be a running back who's on the field for every down, you got to be able to pass protect and you got to be able to pass catch. You can't be a liability in the passing game. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that absolutely does.
Cool. Yeah. And a guy that I think typifies that is Christian McCaffrey. So plays for the San Francisco 49ers, does it all, lines up all over the backfield, sometimes even lines up wide, like a wide receiver. And he had a really interesting quote that I found. He echoed a quote from his head coach, and he said that if you're just watching the ball when you're watching football, you probably don't know football. And that can seem kind of arrogant, but in context, why he said that was in reference to how he's moved all over the field in different moments to exploit different matchups against the defense. Like his coach described it as like he's like the ultimate chess piece, which you can move around in different ways. And sometimes he's the central piece that's about to get the ball. Other times he's a decoy. But when you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey who can do it all, you have the luxury to move him all over the field and confuse the defense. And when you're just watching the ball, you miss out on that nuance of like, oh, where's this person lined up, and what's the offense trying to exploit in a given situation?
The other kind of running back-ish position is the fullback.
Yeah.
I know that they aren't as common as they used to be, or maybe they were never common. I just know that there aren't that many now. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. They used to be really common like a while ago, but as the game has evolved at the NFL level, teams just run the ball a lot less than they used to, and they throw the ball a lot more. And a fullback's primary job is to run block. And so with less teams running the ball more, there's less fullback play. Typically when you see a fullback, it's in like a short yardage situation, like when the offense just needs to get a few yards and they need another blocker on the field, but they're not on the field as much. So for instance, there were only 3 fullbacks this past season who played over 400 snaps in the NFL. And by comparison, there were over 40 running backs who played more than 400 snaps. Wow. So that kind of paints a picture of how infrequently a fullback is used, but they're typically lined up in front of the running back if they're on the field. Occasionally they'll go out for a pass, but more often than not, they're run blocking. And the traits that they need in particular, having great blocking technique, they're often blocking guys that are much bigger than them and also guys who have a running start to get after the running back. And so there's just a level of toughness that you have to have. You're either having to make a hole where there's no hole, or you're having to absorb a defender who has a running start at you. A current NFL player who's great at that is Kyle Juszczyk. He played more fullback than any other fullback in the NFL this past year. And he's an elite blocker for the position, but also an elite pass catcher for the position. So I think we did it, man. I think we ran through all the positions on offense. Like I said earlier, we're just scratching the surface here. We went a mile wide and an inch deep on each of these positions, but hopefully that just gives a little bit of foundation for each person, no matter where you're at in following the game of football. And yeah, so that's it for the offense. We hope you join us next time as we overview the defensive positions. But until our next episode, we'd love to interact with you. Lucas, are there ways that people can do that?
Nope. Just kidding. Yeah, on Instagram at the Football Project Pod, on Twitter at TFP_podcast_, or if you have any comments, questions, ideas that you want to share with us, feel free to send us an email at thefootballprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Our hope is to be a community of people who enjoy learning and appreciating the game of football together. Sounds like Christian McCaffrey, you know, the quote he said earlier, right? If you're watching the ball, when you're watching football, you don't know football. It sounds like Christian McCaffrey could use this podcast as well. So let's make sure that he hears this.
Yeah, maybe if one of our listeners knows him, they can be like, hey man, I know a podcast you should listen to and you should check it out.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Vic, I appreciate you doing this, and I will talk to you later.
Awesome, man. Take care.
See you.